Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of April, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jerry Golke. He's at the Golke Group out of Chicago, Illinois. We'll check in with the Climbers facility. That's the ethanol plant that belongs to the Andersons over at Logansport, Indiana, to see how it's operating as farmers go to the field and begin to plant corn this season. And we'll check to see whether the weather forecast looks like it's going to rain, then clear up, and then rain again, will allow producers to get into the field very much over the next week. We'll hear all about that from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and he has just a bit, too, on South America, that rainfall in Argentina that has really crushed some of the harvest there of soybeans, and, well, no rainfall in Brazil, which has put at risk some of the Safrina corn crop. That all comes up during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, the numbers in Chicago finished up like this for the afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were up a dime. Nearby May contract at 394 and three quarters, 10 and a quarter higher. July at 399 and three quarters, up 10 and a quarter. September up 9 cents at $3.99 and a quarter. And December, that's your new crop harvest month, up 6 and a quarter at $4.02 and three quarters. May, 5 and three quarters higher at $4.10 and a quarter. That's actually the March contract in the corn pit. Soy complex, May beans, $10.09 and three quarters of a cent, a gain today of 24 and a quarter cents. July at 10.19, up 24 and a quarter. August 10.19 and a quarter, 22 and a half higher. September at 10.08 and a quarter, 12 and three quarters higher. And November beans at $9.99 and three quarters, up 3 and three quarters. Bean oil 14 cents lower. Bean meal up $13.80. Wheat futures in the May contract up 18 cents at 5.04 and a quarter. July at 5.12 and a quarter. For the soft red, 18 higher. July hard red at 16 and three quarters higher at 504 and a half. Live cattle futures from Chicago at $126.02 and a half cents, down $1.30 for the April. June at 117 and a nickel, $1.52 and a half lower. Feeder cattle April contract at 149.25, down 92 and a half cents, and the May at $145.30, 47 and a half lower. May futures in the lean hogs up 90 cents at $77.10. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like. Crude oil for the day at $42.74 a barrel, $1.66 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.57 and a tenth. That's a 0.9 of a cent higher. Gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price up 2.5 cents at $1.50 and one half cent. And the heating oil at $1.32 and 8 cents of a cent. That's diesel fuel, 6.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.07, down a penny and 0.7. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 18,076, up 115 points. The U.S. dollar, 0.523 higher at 94.47. And gold futures at $1,250.70, down $2.30. The weather forecast for the area says a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Those will come after 4 o'clock. Cloudy, a high of 72 on a south wind at 15 miles an hour. Tonight, showers, likely possibly a thunderstorm before 1 a.m. The chance of showers and thunderstorms then again after 1 a.m. Cloudy, a low of 56 tonight. Chance of precipitation overnight, 60%. Tomorrow, showers again, 40% chance for rainfall, mostly cloudy and a high of 71. A 30% chance of showers overnight on Thursday, mostly cloudy and 51 degrees with a low of 51 again. Partly sunny on Friday and a high near 65 degrees. They'll have a north wind by then at 10 to 15. Clear on Friday evening with a low of 41. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and Busey. With nearly 150 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, on this 20th day of April 2016, time to check what happened in the commodity markets and, more importantly, the reasons why there was a big jump again. We're joined now by Jerry Gulke. He's at the Gulke Group, and I don't know whether you're just out on the farm or in Chicago today. Jerry, where are you?
Actually, just got out to the farm a few minutes ago and heard it rained yesterday, and it's dry, but we put anhydrous on last Thursday, and I couldn't plant really for about 10 days after that, I guess 7 to 10 days unless it rains. But interestingly, we had rain forecast for yesterday. There were yellow spots and green spots, and got a tenth of an inch. So not liking that. That's not not much. It's quite a bit different than last year when they predicted a tenth and you got 2 inches. You know?
That is very true. Okay. So really, I'm trying to get my head, and I am sure farmers and others that are watching this market, around the reasons that the soybeans began to rally. There are a bunch of fundamentals. And then why corn would manage finally to follow through with some rally today, too. So what do you see in this marketplace?
Well, you know, actually, the soybeans started to rally, you know, about March 1st. And remember, they had sustained, I think we had 1 day or 2 days down the whole month of March. They just kind of, like a plow horse, just kept plugging along, going higher. So the technicals turned first. You've probably got the best technical analyst in the country on there once in a while, Dan Zwicker, and I watch him pretty well. Maybe he and I are close one or two, but at any rate, we had buy signals in this stuff. And when you get buy signals in it, it's not just a line in the sand or in a chart. It has to do with how the price changes, the volume, and that type of thing. And it turned it in March 1st. And so we basically got out of all our heads as it sat tight. I think there was moves afoot then. And we were hearing even in Brazil that the northern part of Brazil was kind of in trouble all year long. But, you know, it always rains in Brazil when it's supposed to. But that northern part of Brazil had some problems with the drought. And I think now that it's coming in, the bean yields are starting to drop somewhat. And, of course, the corn, they were relying on the Safrinha corn. And that was kind of in trouble. And if you go back to even January, there's been some weather guys that have been predicting that if we're going to get a hot, dry summer this summer, one of the precursors would be that the South American second crop, the Safrinha crop, would be in trouble. And it may not even be harvested. That was the extreme that one of the gentlemen was talking about. So we've been watching that pretty closely. And, of course, now that crop is coming down. Cordillera is down 4 million tons. He thinks it might be down another 4. He's pretty conservative. And, you know, 8 million metric tons times 40 bushels is 320 million bushels. And after that crop acres report of 2 million acres more than anybody thought, you look at it now, and suddenly we have eliminated from the global supply, just in South America, probably as much as we were going to produce in that 2 million extra acres that we were going to produce in the United States. And there's always thought that, well, you've seen the highest corn acres you're going to see, and now it's going to go, some going to go to beans or somewhere else. I think what we're seeing now is that with the soybean thing, we never had a great surplus in soybeans. We were going to have a little less supply than demand worldwide, not just U.S., but worldwide, for the first time in quite a few years. And corn was a little bit more supply than demand, so it was never a demand problem out there. And demand turns out, again, to be looking like it's the fourth year in a row going to be better globally than what it was that most people thought, Informer, USDA, and some of the other bears out there. So that's my take on it. And we're now, as usual, you know, probably, we're starting to see the fundamentals emerging as to why the technicals went long a long time ago. And that's how it usually works. And now you'll hear the people on CNBC and other places saying that they were bought some grain, or the funds were buying grain because it was actually cheap. You know, well, they're not going to tell you that for free on TV or anywhere else. And now we'll hear that trying to keep this thing going. And pretty doggone impressive, is, you know, from my standpoint as well. I thought this might happen in June. This is happening a whole lot quicker than I thought it would.
Yeah, this has been an impressive move. How much upside potential do you suppose there is at this point without a weather condition in the summer months?
Well, probably more than you and I think, you know. And we were getting an awful lot of calls by our clients saying, no, we got to sell something. We're long calls and we're and we're along in the field, along in the bend. We haven't done anything. My God, any day we could lose 30 cents in a whim. I look at it, and from a, if you look at it from a long-term chart standpoint, last month, I believe it was March, we had a key reversal higher. We not only took out the previous month and made new highs for 2016 calendar year, we took out the previous 4, 5, 6 months, and now we're back up to where we were in July of last year. So I look at this in soybeans as saying, you know, in July we saw a big crop coming, and Brazil was never going to grow a bad one. And here comes Argentina with a new president, and we're going to dump loads of beans on our heads. December, we had a key reversal down in that when he was elected, and it came fulfilled, but the hype was a lot better than when the results were. The soybeans didn't come to market. We had an inverted market in Argentina, and the Argentine farmer either decided not to sell as much or never had that much in the first place. So you begin to wonder, you know, whether we aren't led astray by some people in the media saying, we think there's 750 million bushels of beans in sacks. And suddenly it didn't come to the marketplace. And now the guys in Brazil, exporters, were thinking all this beans were coming and we got a flood of beans. They're short bought, and they may have sold calls. A lot of evidence where people sold calls. But I think the big exporters are short bought. Now the Argentina can't get the beans to the ports because they're wet, and the crop is down in Brazil. And suddenly you've got the whole thing turned around, kind of like a perfect storm. We got so negative that there was no possible chance. And you were ever hearing that from some of the major players in the marketplace, some of the funds saying, we got to have such an overhead supply of supplies in the world. We don't see a chance at all ever getting out from under this problem. And that was about the day before the soybeans started to explode. So I think that's a lot of that, and market psychology played a point. How high? I don't know. I know there's a lot of people wanting to sell $9 beans. A lot of people want to sell 10. I talked to our local elevator today in Rochelle, and he said that he thinks that 25% of the production in that area has been sold already. Farmers jumped in and sold beans when they, you know, last starting on Monday. And what I look at it is that, you know, you and I are selling, some farmers are selling. I'm tempted to sell more cash beans, perhaps. That's pretty good money, you know, $10 pretty quick. The market's sucking right through that. It's blowing right through all the grain that the farmer can sell. And that's been going on since the beginning of the year, where what you want to see happen in a bull market is that the grain gets transferred from weak hands to strong hands. Farmers grow grain to sell. The buyers grow grain to sell at a higher price. And this has happened, you know, 2 or 3 times in my lifetime where farmers will be out of grain, and suddenly the end user is holding it, and then now what? You know, now you get a weather problem, and we'll wish we hadn't sold any. So it's pretty pretty exciting, and I've heard for months now on the TV ag shows and so forth where they said, well, you got to sell something here, you got to reward something here. Even back last weekend, well, yeah, we got to reward this bean market because we got a surplus of beans. Well, if we had so many beans, we wouldn't be here with this price. Something is fishy out there, and I don't know how we're going to go.
Well, that's the question I really have, because I'm looking forward, actually only on the old crop. USDA in April was still at 445 million bushels on a carryout. In previous years, this has reduced dramatically, but I think the reduction started earlier than this. Are we coming back down to 200 or 190? We were at 191 coming in this year. Where do you think we'll end up?
I think it'll be under 300 million when we get all done. And corn, I don't know. We could probably pick up another. It's going to be hard from here. There is some rumors that there's some grain going to have to be bought from here. And, of course, Brazil eliminated the import tax of 10%, so they'll probably buy corn from Argentina. A fellow down there that we know who farms, he says that there's a reason to believe that they won't even have enough corn to meet their domestic demand now in Brazil. So they'll have to import. Wouldn't it be something if they import corn from us, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The thing is, you know, you go back to 2011 and 2012 when we started this rally, all the reasons why it kept going higher and higher and higher were obvious looking out the back window and over our shoulder. We didn't see a lot of the reasons coming, but I think if it's drier, stays dry in here pretty soon, I'm going to think it, and a lot of farmers are going to think, boy, you know, planting in the dust and the benzo bust, maybe not this time. And I don't think I better sell anymore until I see this crop in good shape. And that's, you know, that's in July. That's June and July. We got a ways to go. Something's got to happen to turn the psychology around that caused this, and I don't see anything out there. The monthly and weekly signals, even wheat, look at what happened to wheat. And we were looking at Eastern Europe and Ukraine and Russia and the total U.S. drop of 5 million acres. There could be 20 million metric tons of wheat less this year in production. You know, that's, we got 900 million, but suddenly there's not as much wheat as you might think. And so all these, you know, all this is happening, and we haven't even grown this year's crop, and we're not into 2017 yet. And I've seen some carryover numbers by people I respect, not in this country, but in other countries in Europe and Argentina, that think that this year's crop carryout is going to be under 200 million for next August of 2018. That's a whole lot different than 500 and some million that some U.S. analysts have gone on TV and radio saying that, you know, this is all a farce, it ain't going to happen, and we got too many beans out there. But usually when something's going on that shouldn't happen, you have to question what it is, and it's pretty difficult to ferret it out until it becomes obvious. And but I think in these numbers, you know, anybody, you'll get, any analyst is safe to say, well, you can sell something here because you can break even. Well, I'm not in the business to break even. I can do that working at McDonald's. So I think at some point your costs are different than mine. And I think, you know, I'm very tempted. We've got old crop beans left. I'm very tempted to sell them and not look back. And because $10, are they going to go to 14? I don't know. You know, the higher they go, the bigger the optimism is, you know. But pretty soon in here, you start buying some kind of protection, I guess, and that's not going to get cheap. That's going to be expensive to buy put protection, probably.
Do you think we'll switch acreage?
Some, but not a lot. Not a lot. You know, in 2007, you know, that was the year we missed this year's number by 400,000 so far. We were at 94 million. In 2007, we missed it by 37,000 acres, but it took 6 months for the government to get there. But in that March of 2007, they did reflect a healthy increase in corn acres, even though a lot of people didn't realize it or didn't think it could happen. In the June report, they actually raised acres even more, I think another 5% or 4%, another 3 million acres, and lowered beans. So during that year, you know, it's not comparable, but you go back and look at the statistics, and some of the carryovers were the same. You know, we hadn't completed the ethanol program yet as far as getting the 5 million bushels of corn being used. But we didn't stop planting corn. And in our analysis of clients, and not just them, but other people I've talked to, the rationale is, remember, we built a lot of on-farm storage. We're a lot smarter about making the carry now than we were 10, 15 years ago. They're saying is that if I can plant corn and my APH might be 180, and by golly, last year in Minnesota and Iowa and South Dakota, we got 200, 220. I think I can grow good corn, but I just can't grow beans. And I talked to guys again today. Are you going to change your plants? No. I'm set up for corn because corn has gone up and beans have gone up. And even if I'm wrong and I don't do a good job of marketing, I don't sell 100% at the top, I can always sell it for 40 cents more probably at fall for what I get at fall harvest, because they know how to use the carry and they know how to do the basis now. And we've become much better at controlling our financial destiny and using grain bins in a lot of areas and than we have been before. And I think people look at that saying, you know, there's a carry here, but there isn't one in beans. And I think what we got, what beat down on is the media saying how many, we're just going to be covered up with beans forever because of South America. And you listen to that and you say, you know, there's no hope for me because I can't compete with South America, but I can in corn. Hey. So there you are. You know, I don't know where we go from here, but it's good news.
Hey, thanks so much for taking so much time with me today. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. That, of course, is Jerry Gulkey. He is with the Gulkey Group out of Chicago, Illinois. We talk long enough. I'm going to switch things up just a bit so I can get to the guys from the Andersons here pretty shortly. But we'll do that at the bottom of the half hour. The weather forecast is coming up right now. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon, the 20th day of April. It's time to plant corn. True Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and he's going to tell us whether farmers across the Midwest and the Corn Belt will be able to continue planting over the next several days. What do you think?
Well, I think that we're going to have a little bit of a disruption coming up as we deal with a rather weak weather disturbance that's moving across the Mississippi River Valley today, and we'll see to it that showers are in our forecast for the next 2 days, actually. We'll see the precipitation somewhat disorganized for a while longer here today, but as we get to the latter part of the day, we're probably going to find a well-organized line of showers and thunderstorms coming up out of southeast Missouri and parts of western Kentucky through the eastern portions of Illinois into parts of western Michigan, and that line will work its way eastward overnight tonight and eventually work its way through Ohio and Indiana as we get into the day tomorrow. Then there'll be some instability showers that will come in behind that line, and we'll have some additional precipitation off and on in the afternoon tomorrow and into tomorrow night. I'm not expecting the precipitation to be very heavy, but it doesn't matter. It's still moisture, and it's still going to set us back a little bit. But the best drying we'll see over this next week or so is going to be from Friday through Sunday, maybe as early as Thursday afternoon in the western Corn Belt. But Friday through Sunday, for the majority of us, it will be a dry period. We'll need at least a day and a half there to firm up the soil after the rains that we just talked about, and then perhaps we'll be back in the fields for a quick day or day and a half before we get into next week. Now, next week looks a little bit wetter again with a succession of weather systems likely to move across the Midwest, so our drying time is going to be much more limited, and we may be on the sidelines for a little longer next week.
We have had really good weather, warm temperatures brought to us, I guess, by a blocking system. It's called the Omega Block. Will we have the same kind of warm weather conditions next week?
We are going to continue a relatively warm for the first part of the week, but as time moves along, there will be a new surge of cool air coming down from Canada that will probably sneak across the northern and eastern parts of the Midwest, and it will get a little bit more chilly as we get to the end of next week and into the following weekend. It shouldn't last very long because we have an active southern branch of the jet stream, and should bring warmer air back across the majority of the Midwest immediately after that. So a quick couple of days of chilly conditions, and we'll be back in some seasonable warmth.
When you say chilly, how cold?
Well, it's a little hard to say right now, but I would expect to see frost and freezes occur across the Great Lakes region and the upper Mississippi River Basin area. I don't think we'll see freezes down south of the northernmost counties in Illinois.
Anything out of South America before I let you go?
Well, I think Argentina is finally going to turn the corner. It's been very wet there. Of course, the marketplace is all excited about losses. I think some of those losses because of the wet weather are terribly exaggerated. I think the crop will end up being fairly decent, but we do need it to dry out so they can get back to the harvest there. That will take place for the next 2 or 3 days, a little bit of a disruption over the weekend, and then more dry weather next week. And then, of course, there's the second season corn crop in Brazil. We're a little concerned about it in Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul, though those two states will get some timely rain. The rest of the production area is probably going to still see a drying tendency for a while.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1821, Franz Karl Achar died, a German chemist. He invented a process for the large-scale extraction of table sugar from beets. In 1801, he opened the world's first sugar beet factory in what is now modern-day Poland. In 1856, Robert Livingston Stevens died, a U.S. engineer and chip designer. He invented the widely used inverted T railway rail and the railroad spike. He found that rails laid on wooden ties with crushed stone or gravel beneath provided a road bed superior to any known before. He also added the cow catcher to the locomotive and increased the number of drive wheels to 8 for better traction. In 1862, the first test of pasteurization was completed. The test container was opened at a meeting of the French Academy of Sciences. It contained dog's blood and urine that had been maintained at an elevated temperature, and neither liquid showed observable decay or fermentation, leading to the idea that foods could be heated to kill germs without significantly altering their chemical composition. And in 1999, the Disney film A Bug's Life was released. It was the first 100% digital DVD. It was transferred directly from the digital source to the compact disc. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Really quickly, make sure you visit our website at willpledge.org. We're in the midst of kind of an end-of-the-year non-fund drive. If we collect 90 grand by the end of next week, we won't bother to come to you with the whole full-fledged thing. It's a lot easier if you do it, so just do it right now, willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org, or just go to willag.org. There's a donate button. It's really high up at the top of the page. You can hit that. Do it now, but make sure you check in support of ag programming. There is a box that you can check for that. Make sure you do that as well. And thank you so much. Steve Falkenstein is now with us. He's from the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana, near there anyway. And we're here to talk about the cash grain market. Thanks so much, Steve. I think this is the first time you've been on the air with us. Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you came from.
Originally from the Maumee, Ohio area. Spent several years there in the grain business and 15 years up in southwest Michigan, and have been down here for about the last 3 years.
All right. I was saying, think to today there probably wouldn't be very many phone calls simply because guys were in the field. However, with the market up, I bet that was different. What happened?
Yeah, definitely. We started the day kind of quiet. Corn was unchanged to slightly better. Beans down 4. Felt like they were going to kind of give up, and they just didn't want to give up. Yeah, I like to say today the guy with the gold makes the rules, and that's the funds, and that's really what's been controlling this last move. You know, corn up 10 in the front end today, beans up 24 more in the front end for old crop beans. You can try to justify it fundamentally. Argentina is wet in the last 5 to 10% of their bean harvest. The safrina crop in Brazil is a little dry. The second crop corn crop is a little dry. But really, it's about the funds and the guys with the money. You know, the Dow's making a run, energies are making a run. They're just in cover it mode.
But the ethanol plant's happy today, isn't it?
Ethanol prices don't like lower ethanol and higher corn prices, but but they definitely are feeling much better than they were, you know, certainly 6 months ago.
Did you buy a bunch of new crop, and was it corn or beans or both? Well, you would have only been buying corn, but did Delphi buy beans?
Yeah, Delphi buys corn, beans, and wheat. We've had a lot of people cleaning up old crop bean stocks as well as getting started on new crop as November approaches $10. And at the ethanol plant, old crop corn is moving. Basis has really gotten hammered this last week across not just Indiana but across the country as more corn continues to move.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today. Do you have your bids in front of you, by the way?
I do.
What are they?
I do. Climbers tonight for April, May delivery is at, call it 409. New crop corn straight out of the field at 383. Old crop beans are in that 1002, 1005 range. New crop beans are 980.
Boy, I didn't think I'd
970,
hear a,
excuse me.
I didn't think I'd hear a tin handle on anything for a while, but I guess things change as fast. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right, that is Steve Falkenstein. He is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility. Finishes up the closing market report here from Illinois Public Media. Do visit our website. The address there is WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.